All right, let's start off with John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I want you to think for just a moment, what is it that causes you to trust in someone? Whoever it may be, mother, father, your neighbor, a brother or sister in Christ, a co-worker. What is it that causes you to trust in them? It causes you to believe in what they say, even if it doesn't look like it's going to happen. For instance, your friend says, I'll be there by 7 o'clock. And it's 6:58, and they're not there. But you're confident they'll be there by 7. What gives you that confidence? I would suggest that more than likely it is because you know them. You know their character. You know that they are a person of their word. If you have that kind of confidence in someone, you will trust them. And I suggest to you that one of the problems that we have sometimes when it comes to our doubts is we don't know God well enough. By that I mean a lot of times when difficulties come and we start asking, why is this happening to me? We've forgotten that God never told us that we would not go through hardships. He never made a promise like that. He never promised us that life on this earth would be rosy. In fact, you can sort of take what Paul says, an extension, and say that we know we will suffer persecution. Now, they could be in the form of persecutions from other people. It may be from life. And my point is, I think a lot of times when we start getting discouraged with God, it's because we have not really considered what He has said, or we've assumed that He said something that He never said to us. So in John chapter 6, we have this beautiful scene where Jesus has been preaching, and let's just jump to verse 55. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Notice verse 60, though. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. Verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So understand, Jesus is talking about eating his own flesh, well, people eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Some of the disciples said, we're out of here. This is a little too much for us. Verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, I don't want to sound flippant when I say this, but I've often thought that there were probably times when Jesus was preaching and teaching, and it was going right over the apostles' heads. And they're probably looking at each other going, I don't have a clue what he's talking about right now. Don't think for a moment the disciples, the apostles, understood everything. And don't think for a moment that they weren't probably just as confused as the ones that left. But you know what separated the ones that left from the 12 that stayed? Trust. Peter said, we don't have anywhere else to go. If I can throw this in, we don't understand everything you say, but you have the words of eternal life. You're the only game in town. That's what trust is. Trust doesn't mean that someone understands everything, but it does mean that they know several things and they've come to conclude several things about God. Exodus 34, 6 through 7, we talked about this the other day. God loves you. God wants to be gracious toward you. God wants to be merciful toward you. God wants to bless you with a home in heaven one day. And then if you'll open your Bible to Romans chapter 8, Paul gives us in this text some of the most encouraging words that are found in Scripture. He says in verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Do you remember that from Psalm 44? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what trust does. Trust doesn't say I have to have an answer. Trust says I know my God. I believe in my God. He's the only thing that makes sense. And I don't understand everything. I can't figure out every Bible text. I can't explain every circumstance in life. But trust says all things work together for good. And trust says if God is for us, who can be against us? See, that's the story of Job. And that has to be the story of our life. If you don't go through difficulties in your life, someone close to you will go through difficulties in life. The only way you're going to get through it is if you trust God. I know it sounds like a trite answer, you know, but it's more than just trust God. Trust God. It is look at the character of God in Scripture and come to understand that's the one I want my faith to be in. That's the one that I want to place my soul within. Yes, He's a God who judges and He's a God who will punish, but He is also a God who is merciful towards those who are struggling. And He is a God who will reward those who come to Him. So, this evening, if you'd like to come to God, if you're not a Christian, the waters of baptism are ready. If you're ready to confess the name of Jesus Christ, and if you're ready to commit yourself to following Him, you can become His child this evening. Won't you do it while we stand in just a moment? If you're a child of God, if you need prayers, I hope you know this group well enough, and I hope this group has a reputation that is sustained enough that you can come in your difficult times to one another, and you can pray with one another, and you can open yourself up to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You got things going on in your life, you feel like, oh, there's so much going on, and if my brethren knew about these things, they wouldn't love me. They ought to love me. You're struggling, you're tempted. Your brethren here ought to love you. So don't turn away from a resource not only of God, but of your brothers and sisters. If you want the prayers of your brothers and sisters this evening, then we'd love to pray with you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come now while we stand, while we sing.